Accession number 30134, Reel 5.
Right, so that's Joe Setry, and it's Reel 5, and you were talking about General S.A.M.
Yes, then Lieutenant Colonel commanding the 1st Battalion. Well, he was a Northampton, a First War soldier who had got the Military Cross as well in the First War, and a dynamic character. He came to us from the War Office, where he'd been doing a job, and one of the relatively few officers in the pre-war army who had staff college behind him. That means he was starred for them. And in fact, he became a brigadier about a year and a half afterwards, and then on to general. Now, he was a dynamic character, and under him, the battalion really sort of got to grips with getting itself geared for a real hard, tough, modern war. Mm. And up to then, up to the outbreak of war, really going along in the old way, manoeuvres were, well, of course, they could have their arduous time, but everything was hedged around with safety. On large-scale manoeuvres, red flags meant you were under fire, so you stopped. Green flag, that sort of thing. Mm. And firing, grenade throwing and so on was hedged around with all sorts of precautions. But at that time, owing to the influence of what obviously our bloodied at Dunkirk and so on, everything changed. And we're out to really, you know, use weapons much more freely with live ammunition, restrict the safety precautions to the barest minimum, providing people didn't get killed, and really expose a soldier to as much as possible to the realities of war with live ammunition, throwing live grenades and so on with precautions, but the minimum, you know, not overdoing them as because, we had before.
Because the battalion's numbers, presumably at this stage, have been made up by new people.
Yes, well, they were continually being made up. Yes. But that was the thing. And General Lassaim sent me to the Commando Training Centre at Loch Islet, not to be a commando, but to do their course, find out all their tough methods, come back to the battalion and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. And they were given Loch Islet, the only commander training centre then. They were given an official 2% casualty allowance, and they got them. Mm-hmm. But they were very tough, about the toughest thing I ever did outside the battle itself. And I came back and did what was required. My company, which was in a little village called Brompton, was within fairly easy distance of Osmotherley Moors. Take them out there and train them on these battle lines. And my company became more or less a sort of demonstration company of these various drills and so on. And that was the spirit in which we did things, very realistically, and amongst other things, swimming in clothing and equipment. Because on the basis of your ship that went down, you just don't pack up. You get along and then you fight again. Mm-hmm. And it was on the basis of that that on the River Derwent, river crossing, an assault river crossing was planned, not in boats, but swimming. And that is where we lost 4 people drowned. And there was a court of inquiry, and Colonel Lassaim was completely absolved because it was realistic battle training. And, well, of course, I had a river cross for safety, but about other people. But anyhow, that was it. And we lost these people, but there were other accidents as well in other regiments. But we were down now to realistic battle training with a minimum of precautions so that people didn't get deliberately killed, but bringing the soldiers as close as possible to battle conditions.
Were there any swimming lessons given?
Sorry?
Were there any swimming lessons given, Joe?
Oh, yes. There was practice. We monopolised the swimming baths. And they practiced swimming in equipment in the baths. I mean, it wasn't just thrown into the river like that. Oh yes, there was training for that. So that was an accident. I believe that one of the causes of that was that the Derwent was very proliferant in weeds, and that probably caught up in shoes. You know, big weeds growing up.
Yes.
Well, however, that was an accident, but there were many accidents, others, not in Albertine. But that is getting to grips with realistic training. And I think it's absolutely criminal to send a young soldier to fight in war who has been hedged around with so much precautions and safety that he can't possibly be, you know, absolutely cushioned.
Yes.
And to thrust him in front of an enemy who is out to kill him with all the nastiness and the noise and everything. Mm. And you've got to harden him mentally and physically to face what is coming to him. Yes. And have a chance of surviving and doing his job. Mm.
Did SME stay with you at that stage, or did he move on somewhere
else? No, he stayed on for another, I think, few months or so, 6 months.
Yes.
Before being promoted and given a brigade in the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
Which was subsequently to become part of the Wessex Division, which he ended command at the end of the war.
43rd Division, was
43rd,
that?
43rd, yes, 43rd, yeah. Wessex.
And was the other thing on my mind, Irvin Andrews. Was Irvin Andrews with you at this stage?
No, Irvin Andrews, now after Dunkirk, Irvin Andrews, through a number of reasons, one, before the war, he did a voluntary attachment at his own expense to the Allied Australian battalion of the regiment. I think it was the 59th Coburg Regiment. And also, he was also in, before the war, he was involved in Army Air Liaison and did combat duties on the Northwest Frontier, flying in these various little wars against tribesmen and so on.
Yes.
VBL Vickers shot down, dropped a small bomb, the L. Lewis gun in the rear. He did that, and when he came to us in Hollywood Barracks from Martin, he already had the Indian Medal with two clasps.
Yeah, right.
So his air training and his association with the Australian forces brought him far east. Hmm. I don't know the details of everything he did, but he was also advised at one time to the Australian MOD on jungle fighting, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Anyway, fighting with, you know, after his experience at Dunkirk and also his previous experience. And also air liaison with on aircraft carriers and generally air to ground, air to sea.
Yeah.
So he was with us. He wasn't with us in the battalion then. He left us after Dunkirk and only returned to the battalion in Normandy for a very short time, where he was with the 5th Battalion, East Lancashire Regiment, in Normandy, fell sick, was evacuated, and never came back again.
Right.
So that was, yes. Now, we got as far as the same being
Derwent.
Yes, I mean, it's a court of inquiry, and he was completely absolved. Precautions had been taken, at least I had a rope anyhow, and soldiers had been trained previously. They weren't just launched into the river just like that.
Mm.
So, also, again, it toughened the battalion considerably. I mean, the spirit in which we went to things, for example, we trained in deep snow sometimes, and on one occasion we were out on the area, and our motor, we were moving, we were then lorry infantry brigade, moving in our lorries, and came across a snowdrift to block the road. Not a question of turning back, out with the shovels, clear the road and go on, and that was the spirit we did things in.
Yes.
Then again, another thing, toughen the battalion, make sure that all the weaklings fell out. A march from Northallerton to Blackpool, which was the infantry training centre, across the Pennines. 3 days marching.
Winter time, Joe, or summertime?
Springtime, about May.
Yeah.
I think it was about May.
Yeah.
26, 27 miles a day, billets, then on and on, and then 2 days rest in Blackpool, and then 3 days back again. Not a man fell out.
Right, wonderful.
But that was the way that he trained us, and that was the spirit that he imbued the battalion with.
Yeah. You were, at this stage, Joe, you were...
Company commander.
You were company, B company.
That's right, yeah.
As a captain.
Yes, that's right. Yes. C company, I think, I moved from one company.
Right,
So that was the period in the same period. Then... he left, he went to the Isle of Wight. We had another CO who didn't, not too much. But eventually we got Colonel Burden. Now, Burden had one of these old majors that I spoke about very early on, First War veteran, fought in Mesopotamia on the Western Front. Had been second in command at Dunkirk, had then been promoted lieutenant colonel, commanded, I think, a newly raised battalion very shortly, and then went off to Gambia, where he became a brigadier. But things folded up there, and so he came down in rank. And but he came back to us, and it was Colonel Burden who took us to Normandy. And he again was a very thorough trainer, and that I know because working under him was when he was second in command, when I was weapon training officer, I know how meticulous he was and how thorough. And with him we went through all the deployment drills and the battle drills, the deployment of company, deployment of battalion attack principally, also but attack principally, cooperation with armour, which of course was a great thing at that part of the world, Wincanton and Mere, where we were at that time, because it's armoured country rolling round. And so we again got very thorough training with him. In fact, we were very highly trained at all, completely. Now, at this time, we're talking about supporting arms, we received 6 6-pounder anti-tank guns. Mortars were up, 6 3-inch mortars now. The Pioneer platoon from a section that was created to a platoon to do minor engineering jobs, which was superfluous really for the engineers. And of course we had the Bren gun carrier. So you had 6 additional platoons of supporting arms, and they were formed into a new company, the support company. Mm-hmm. Additional to the 4 rifle companies. So we had the support company, the 6-pounders, mortars, pioneers, and Bren gun carriers. So that was additional to the battalion. Also, we got at some stage a 38 set for the platoons. So you now had wireless communication from platoon to company and company to battalion. So that was that. And that really is, then we moved down to Bredgar on Kent and continued with our training.
When would this be, Joe? Would this be around 1942?
Middle of 1943 to 1944. And from there, from Bredgar, we moved eventually to our marshalling area. But before that, 1943, about 42 Armoured Division was dissolved. There's a reorganisation, great reorganisation in the army, composition of division and so on. Dempsey, of course, became army commander, designate. And we were put, as a whole brigade, 71st, as also containing, keeping our old number, 71st Infantry Brigade, into the 53rd Welsh Division to form their 3rd Brigade. So we had there one foreign brigade and 2 Welsh brigades. Yes. Later, the foreign brigade was broken up so as to avoid having too many widows in Wales.
Yes.
But that was later on. That was during the Normandy camp. But we went to Normandy as 71 brigades of 53rd Welsh Division.
Yes, I think were you not an independent brigade at that stage?
Well, we're independent. We're part of 53rd Welsh Division.
All right.
But we were in a sense probably an independent brigade in Dempsey's Armoured Division.
Yes.
Because we were a complete brigade in the support group. If we were required to take part in action, we would take part as a brigade, an independent brigade. There it is. So that reorganization took place so that when we found ourselves in the marshalling area, we were just that. And we arrived in the marshalling area. We weren't amongst the first, the beach people, but we arrived there in the marshalling area on the 17th of June and embarked on the 24th of June.
Yes, yes. So, but
that's it.
Yes, we're going to go on a bit later on now, aren't we, regarding that period?
Yes, not now.
Land, but not now. Yeah. But just to go back on just a couple of things, Joe, on that period leading up to that. The Americans came into the war in December 41, I think.
That's right, yes.
But much later, they started to come over to the UK as a build-up and a prelude to the invasion, didn't they?
Yes, yes.
At this time, was there much sign of this around, much sign of this
American activity? Not where we were, because I think they were concentrating more or less, concentrating rather on the west of England. Well, we were in the West Country too, but Mere and Wincanton, when we were there, 43 or so, there was little or no sign of the Americans.
Yeah.
I think they were further off. As you know, they did a disembarkation exercise or embarkation and assault exercise in that part of the world, and quite unexpectedly, some German motor torpedo boats scuttled quite a lot of them.
Slaps and sands.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it must have been an exciting time for you, really. Then, thinking about you've come out of Dunkirk, and now this is the build up. Now you're very soon going back again. I'm just wondering how you feel.
Well, I don't think I had any particular feelings. We were soldiers, I was a soldier, and doing a job, and there it was. There wasn't a sort of, should I say, elation feeling, you know, being all excited and bobbing up and down. No, we're just professional doing our job.
Yes. And in your company, presumably again, because of the numbers had been made up. There were a number of people, must have been quite a number of people in your company that hadn't seen any action.
Oh, yes, most of them.
So they must have been, I suppose, they must have felt full of trepidation, I would imagine.
I wouldn't say that, no. I mean, it was, there was no trepidation as such. I mean, they were, like everybody else, they knew that they were in for the duration and the job had to be done. And that applied to everybody. And, I mean, they took their training in their strides. There was, of course, a sprinkling of the old hands. And one thing that Colonel Burden tried to do right at the beginning was to get as many people into the battalion, particularly officers, who had already been blooded at Dunkirk, who had smelt powder.
Yes. What about, you've mentioned some special training, Joe, that you had. But I'm just thinking of other types of training, like you're going across to Normandy soon on boats, you're going to be on and off of boats and those things. Presumably you had some of that sort of training.
Oh, well, we had one of the training we did quite a lot of that stage was scrambling nets going up and down, because you might it might be the only way to get out of the boat.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that part of training, I don't think there was any other specific training. If you're in the boat and you don't have to scramble, you get off.
There was no different special weapons training or anything like that?
No. I mean, the weapons that no special weapons training, but we had special training, for example, this is really an extension of normal training, house clearing. And there was an area which was not, I mean, in the army, generally, in Hull, which had been badly blitzed and had a number, an area was, reserved for house-to-house fighting. The technique, how you go in, how you break in, so on. And that was, house-to-house fighting. That was it. And we were there, companies went there in rotation. But we had that sort of special training, you might have to clear a village or a town or something. And we had that sort of special training. But I can't think of anything else, because the normal other type of training, was types which we normally carried out. As I said, the battle drills were so well rehearsed that the Battle of Waterloo, for example, from that very early warning of having to do this, very short notice, everybody knew what to do, because the battle drills were inherent. And I ran from my one to another, just giving short, sharp orders, and everybody knew exactly what they could do.
Yeah. Do you remember what you thought? I mean, I know that you didn't go over back to Normandy until about the 25th, 26th.
The date was the... Wait a minute, I've got it down here.
25th of June, was it, John?
No, just wait. You went... We got to the marsh on the 17th of June and embarked on the 24th.
24th, you embarked, yes. Yes, I think you probably landed in Kursaal in on about the 25th.
Yes, well, it was on the left anyway.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking that if you went then, I mean, June 6th had happened, yes. The initial landings had been made, and news must have been filtering through. You must have been...
No, we assembled first.
Okay.
And that'll come out in the later edition. Yes. We assembled first. Hmm. We're there a few days, sort of shaking ourselves out.
Okay.
And then we were sent off to take over from the 8th KOSB, Kingdom of Scottish Borders, at a place called Shep.
Okay.
Which was a shambles, because they'd just been attacked.
Right.
By and badly bitten, and part of them overrun. Hmm. And we had to take over, and that was our beginning of our sojourn.
And this was in Sher?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll leave it there, shall we?
Yeah.
And continue at a later date when you want to continue from here
yes,
up yes. until yes. a later date.
That's right, yeah.
Thank you, Joe.